I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is the latest in our series, The Life of a Song, and I'm Richard Clayton. This week, Running Up That Hill. The female face of pop in the 1980s was Madonna, the ultimate material girl and America's least convincing virgin. But pop's feminist heart and soul was that British original, Kate Bush, the high priestess of interpretive dance, who floated in an undoubtedly sensual but altogether more spiritual world. Every woman artist ever after labelled kooky by male rock critics cites Kate Bush as an influence, from Tori Amos and Bjork to Bat for Lashes and Florence and the Machine. And what kooky, that rather loaded word, means is distaff creativity on its own terms, whether the writer using it seems beguiled or reviled. Bush burst into the charts at the age of 19 with Wuthering Heights in 1978. At 27, she was at risk of becoming a has-been. Her fourth album, The Dreaming, had flopped, and she needed a hit. She left London for a 17th-century farmhouse in Kent, where she spent as much time composting as composing. Yet the songs that germinated in this rural idyll grew into her most commercially successful album, Hounds of Love, which was released in September 1985. That August, her song Running Up That Hill was the lead single, all galloping drums and insistent groove. Its distinctively wonky riff, like someone wiping a particularly sticky windscreen, was the product of Bush's fascination with the Fairlight CMI synthesizer. Running Up That Hill is a song about trading places, an implicit plea for romantic equality. Tell me, Bush sings, we both matter, don't we? That plea soon leads to an even more profound question. How can we ever know what another person is thinking or feeling? To gain that insight, it takes the old notion of a Faustian bargain up an almighty notch. Bush's initial title for the song was A Deal with God, but her record company persuaded her that this would be anathema in countries with strong religious beliefs. The single, then, was just called Running Up That Hill, though the album tracklist includes A Deal with God in parenthesis. Either way, it was manna from heaven for Bush's career. Hounds of Love knocked Madonna's album, Like a Virgin, from the top of the UK charts. 30 years on, Running Up That Hill still resonates. You couldn't find two more divergent covers of the song than the spry electropop offered by the Toronto band Beams in 2015 and the woefully gruff hard rock mauling presented this year by the Norwegian artist Yawn. Here's Beams' version.
Me
And here's Yawn's take on the song. Do you want to hear about the deal I'm making? You, it's you and me. If only could, I'd make a deal with God. I'd get him to swap my face. Prior to those versions, there was the band Placebo's Murky, Ominous Whisperings in 2003, apparently raking over the satanic coals, which sort of misses the point. Also in 2003, the horribly windy Dutch band Within Temptation released a symphonic metal farrago, possibly with panpipes. Much better was the band Chromatics' skittering late-night ambient cut from 2007. Running Up That Hill also gives its name to an entire album of Kate Bush covers, which was produced in aid of pro-choice reproductive rights. On that album, the self-described one-man wolfpack from Oakland, California, Casey Chisholm, plays the number, somewhat incongruously, as a strung-out cyber dirge. Running Up That Hill endures because it addresses our insecurities. As Bush said in 1985, the song is about, quote, the strength that is created between two people when they're very much in love, but that strength can also be threatening, violent, dangerous, as well as gentle, soothing, loving. Proof of the track's epic qualities came in 2012 on a global stage. Bush re-recorded the vocal of her original 12-inch remix of the song to be used during a climactic part of the closing ceremony of the London Olympics. It was a stirring demonstration of soft power, both Britain's and that of pop itself.
For more downloads, go to ft.com/podcasts.